Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to the show. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Epps.
And I'm Amy Masson.
Our guest today is Nicole Hanusek, who builds marketing websites and custom websites for small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Hi.
Welcome. We'd like to start off by asking each guest to tell us about their journey into WordPress. How did you get started?
So I started working at a web consulting company in 1998, which is way too long ago. And a couple years into my career, I met a man who is now my husband, and he told me to check out WordPress for my blog. So I started blogging with WordPress. It must have been 2003-ish, I would think. And when I started freelancing and, you know, doing more work on my own outside of the companies I was working for, I used WordPress because it was so easy to work with. And when I started my business 12 years ago, WordPress was the one I chose to build websites with, and luckily it took off and it was an excellent choice.
Yeah, I think that's been the path for a lot of people, is that, you know, you were just looking for something to use, and this one, oh, it's easy for people to update their content, because back then, at least for me, it wasn't like a content management system. It was just like the blogging platform.
Right. Yeah, very few people looked at it like, oh, I can make any website out of this. They all thought it had to be a blog. I'm like, no. We can make WordPress do anything. And I'd come across a lot of people who were really surprised by that at the time.
Yeah, when I first started, I want to say, I think I had started, well, my first blog was in B2, which was the code base was forked to become WordPress. But my first time when I was actually using WordPress, I knew nothing. And so I just hand coded a site and then just like took the guts and just like stuck it in the middle, you know, now realizing, oh, well, it does so much more than that. But that's what I, you know, when I tell people about it now, they think, oh, well, that's just what it is. No, it's not.
Yeah, I had that similar experience. I was just so desperate to get off of Dreamweaver and let people have something to edit with that I didn't even have any preconceived notions of that what you could or couldn't do. I'm like, oh, look, it makes web pages. Yeah. So tell us about your business. Like, what was your business and how has it evolved?
And how did you come up with your name?
Oh, yeah, we can start there because that's kind of fun. So I was still at my full-time job and I wanted to take the plunge to do freelancing full-time, which was super scary. And I needed to come up with a name that was memorable, easy to spell, available, which is all very hard, even in 2008. And I was thinking about it for roughly a month, like just trying to come up with a name. And my coworker, who would often annoy me, was annoying me yet once again. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go smack happy on him. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's available. And it was.
So your annoying coworker is how you ended up coming up with your business name?
Yes.
Wow.
Do they know that?
He does not know that. I've told so many people the story. I kind of doubt that it's gotten back to him. I don't know that anyone could make that connection, but yeah, I don't think he knows.
Do you think like you owe him like a commission now?
I might, because some people contact us just because of the name. Like the name stands out and they're like, oh, I want to see what that one's all about. So I probably should send him a gift or something.
That's great. So you've been in business for 12 years, is that correct?
Yes.
That's a huge feat. So how has it evolved, you know, like from when you started to like where you, what are you, and has your position changed since you started now?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, that is the biggest thing. So I mentioned a freelancer. I started out as a freelancer and I kind of stayed that way for roughly 5 years. And then I got to this point where I was just kind of stuck. I had too much work and I needed help. And so I started, you know, trying to find contractors to work with. And I did find like one or two good people to work with, but I still felt stuck. Like I needed something to change or to grow somehow. So I started networking and trying to find like-minded business people who might have also been stuck to see what they did to get out of it. And I ended up working with a business coach. And that was like the best thing I possibly could have done because she turned my world upside down. And I had to make that mindset shift from being a freelancer to being a business owner, which was hard for me to do.
So what was your process for that when you went, I mean, because I feel like we were on the same path, you know, doing websites for people. And then suddenly, you know, you just kind of kicked open the door and came out like a force.
Yeah, I had to own the fact that I wanted and enjoyed to be a leader. When I was a little girl, I was told that I was bossy. And so I suppressed that need and desire to be a leader. And I had to redefine what it meant for me to make it okay to be the boss and to be a bossy person and to kind of figure out what that meant for me, that I could be a loving and compassionate person and still not tell people what to do. I don't like to dictate. For me, it's more of a conversation where we're trying to figure something out together. And I'm just, you know, I don't want to just say, go do it like this. You know, I want people who are going to figure it out on their own and bring their own expertise into it. So once I learned all of those things about myself, that was what really set me free.
And that's a huge transformation. And I can imagine it's hard to strike that balance going from like freelance to being that kind of leader. And for me, it's like, I don't trust people enough and I should, you know, because they're really great and really smart people. How do you go about finding people and even just like changing your mindset from I have to do it all to letting go of some of those reins? And how do you find the people that you feel comfortable in letting them show and do their thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to know this too, because I don't trust people, anybody. So it is
and you
something
are, you're
I struggle
with. And you're
in business
with your sister. So that says a lot.
Yeah, this is a conversation we've had.
Yes. I think one of the things that a lot of business owners have in common is that we're all control freaks. So it is really hard to let go of some of that. Yeah. So to build that trust, I have a couple of techniques that I use, and my whole team is remote, so I can't stand over anyone's shoulder and see how they're doing something. So when I start working with someone, we start with small projects and do a couple of tests. So if I have them coding something or designing something, I'll give them something that I know, okay, if I'm doing this, I know it's going to take this amount of time, and I know like how I would tackle it. So that gives me, you know, something that I've done before, I can now compare to how they're going to do it. And then when they give me the results, you know, we talk through it. I also, you know, kind of think about what the process was like. Did they ask me questions? Did they take my instructions well? Did they get creative with it on their own? And then for code, you know, I can look at their code and, you know, evaluate how they did it and if I like the way they did it. And for design, I mean, kind of similar. Design is just so subjective. So, you know, for that, you just gotta make your own decisions on that one. But I just start small. And if that little project worked out well, then we do another one and get a little bigger. And I keep an eye on the time tracking initially too, to make sure that, you know, we are all still kind of on the same page with regard to that. That's where I start.
And how many people do you have on your team now?
There are 10 of us.
Wow. And are they exclusively working with you, or are they kind of on their own as well?
It's a mix. Some people are employed by me and just work for me. Some still have their own clients, and some are contractors who are not employees, but I treat everyone the same. I don't make any distinction with regard to that.
Are they on any kind of salary, or are they just working hourly for you, or do you have a retainer with them?
Everyone is hourly.
And do you guarantee a set number of hours, or is it just sometimes you'll have work for them, sometimes you won't, and you just kind of pull them in as you need them?
I don't guarantee any specific number of hours. However, you know, each team member has kind of carved out their role and their place at Smack Happy. And like, I don't dictate when you work or how much you work. And because everyone has come in as freelancers, you know, a lot of freelancers, they're great at their job, but they hate the selling part. And so that's what I do now. I'm the one selling us, and they're the ones doing the work. So I think because everyone came in kind of from that freelance mindset, they're good at like managing their own hours and setting their own times. So they've carved out, like, you know, Danielle, she does roughly 20 hours per week. And that's what she's comfortable with because she has, you know, a little boy and, you know, her life. So she could work more if she wanted to. Like, we definitely have the work. But they also know that it fluctuates, because that's the nature of our business.
I think that's really great. Like, because I always, you know, being someone, I've always kind of done freelance stuff. Like, I started doing freelance 20 years ago or something like that. And then working every so often, like in corporate world, and then realizing that not everyone is like that. They're like, oh, I was waiting for instructions, or I didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, but you just figure it out, or there was a need here and whatever. And I didn't realize that. And I think that's a really good point, because freelancers, we are used to that. And also I like that you have that freedom to be able to, so you can get like the best people and say, because, oh, I'm really good, but I have these restrictions. I think that's really great. And it sounds like you've built a really great team too from that.
Yeah. They all seem really happy. And I think gratitude is one of the big things that I kind of promote. So I'm always telling them about how much I appreciate them, and they give that back to me too. So I think that they're pretty happy with the setup.
Because you said you're all remote, how do you keep that kind of that team, you know, to feel like a cohesive team? You have any tricks for that?
Yeah, we use Slack, of course, for communicating, and we do 3 team meetings per week. We do like one big company meeting on Monday where we kind of talk about what's going on, talk about, you know, wins and celebrations, what we have coming up. And then we do a little stand-up portion where we talk about what we did last week, what we'll be doing this week, and if we have any impediments. And then on Wednesdays and Fridays, we would have the same stand-up meetings just to stay connected.
That's a lot of meetings. I feel like that's, have you tried different numbers of meetings and like found that the 3 was the ideal spot, or how did you come up with that number?
I don't like having meetings, and the stand-ups, they're pretty short. They're usually like 15 to 20 minutes. They don't go on too long. So because of that, you know, it didn't feel like it was too much. When the country went into lockdown, we cut out the Wednesday and Friday one temporarily, but then we created a Friday happy hour in its place. So we are still connecting on Fridays, but just like, yeah, you know, winding down and not talking about work and just, you know, being together and playing games and laughing, which has been extremely helpful.
I was just going to say, are you involved in any bigger community things in the WordPress community, or any of your team members involved in any WordPress community activities? Do they go to meetups, WordCamps, anything like that?
A couple of team members have definitely attended various WordCamps, but we aren't heavily involved in the community. I do some networking and I think most of my team are introverts, so they don't like to get out too much. And I'm kind of an introvert at heart too, but I can go out and I can talk to people.
So what I feel like I am is an extroverted introvert. So I like to get out and talk to people, but then I like to go back to my hole and be alone. So like if I do a weekend away with a group of people, I'll have to like separate myself for an hour and just go sit in a room by myself. But then, you know, I crave that togetherness, the being together. And so when we go to like the, that's what's hard for me about the WordCamps all being canceled. It's like, these are my people and I'm not going to see any of them. And you know, the virtual is just, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Yeah. Life's going to be a little hard for a while.
Yeah. And I know, oh, sorry, Angela. I was saying, you know, I know they're doing WordCamp US virtually and they're doing WordCamp Europe virtually. And we're supposed to be at either of those, but I don't even know how interested I am in doing it virtually.
I feel the same on that. Like I feel like that, yeah, that community. And I mean, I feel like it's different and it's interesting and I don't really know why, but seeing a conference versus like a meeting, like I've worked it with distributed teams and I actually really like those kind of check-in meetings. I like doing that, you know, like multiple times a week and, you know, because it does feel like, oh, I'm not just sitting here by myself, you know, working. It feels like that. But for some, I don't know what it is. It's something different about the virtual, conferences or something. I don't know.
Well, it's different when you're, you know, at home and there's other people, you know, your real life is like moving around you. Like, you know, my whole family's here and I've got people coming in and out of the door and going to get snacks. And, you know, when I go to a WordCamp that's somewhere, like I get to leave my family life behind me and kind of just be nerd Amy for a little bit. And you can't really do that on a virtual conference because my real life is here with me all the time.
But even if you can like step away, like into a private room, let's say you could go out into your backyard, there's still all the distractions of your computer as well. You know, like little notifications popping up, or if the speaker is boring you, you might check your email. So it's just way too easy to, you know, step aside from the interaction and focus.
As you say that, I realized I forgot to turn off notifications.
It's okay. It's pandemic times. All the rules are off. So whatever happens, happens, people. That's our new reality.
Speaking of that, how has your business been impacted? Has it been impacted? Have your clients been impacted? And how have you been helping them through that process?
Yeah, this has been really interesting and strange. All of the food and event related clients were extremely impacted. We had one business that did like the escape rooms and they just closed down completely. I think they might have been suffering before this started and they just gave up. And some of the food ones are, you know, they're finding ways to work through it by doing takeout and delivery and things of that nature. And, you know, some of the other event ones, they've just put everything on hold for now, or they're trying to figure out how to do things virtually, which brings me to the flip side of, you know, all the businesses who are still going and trying to pivot and trying to figure out how to do things virtually. So because of that, we are still like surprisingly busy because we have to help these people figure out how to navigate the online world. And I think that's just going to continue to increase throughout the summer as everyone is, you know, trying to make it by.
Are there any specific solutions you've helped people implement that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. You're setting up an e-commerce store, that's a no-brainer. It's an obvious one. But for some other people who provide services, we've helped set up like a virtual meetings where you could schedule a meeting, set up the payment for that, and just having a landing page and process for doing things virtually, which they didn't have before because everything was just in person. It was so easy to just go and meet up. So we've had people who just had no idea how to even start with the whole virtual end of things that we've been able to guide and set up.
You know, I was just reading a bunch of articles about kind of what the new norm of like offices and public spaces is going to be. And it's going to require a lot more of this kind of planning and technology to be able to do this. You know, I'm wondering if you've done any brainstorming with your team or have any ideas of thinking like, well, you know, just like what we were saying before, like, well, WordPress can do pretty much anything. We can make it do all these different things. Have you thought on, you know, like ways that we can say like, oh, well, we can reposition this and make it into this? Have you done any of the kind of brainstorming at all?
Oh, yeah, we have definitely done it, several brainstorming sessions with some of our clients who are having a harder time. There's one in particular who would put together retreats for women and like travel to faraway places and like do workshops with them in these faraway places. And so we are trying to figure out, you know, how can she still do that for people virtually? Because we are all stuck at home and we're kind of tired of being stuck at home. So, you know, is there some way that she could still kind of take us out of this space in a creative way where we're just sort of getting out of our mind or getting out of the mold, and she can still do those workshops, but maybe they're just centered around something else. For example, there are like 2,500 art museums that are available now online. And you could totally set up a session where you're taking someone through an art museum and kind of talking about the art, or, you know, trying to get them to get creative about the art and what they're seeing or thinking. So that's one example.
Wasn't there like a Twitter account of someone who was like, I want to say like in the parks or something. He was an older gentleman and didn't know anything about like social media. And so like he was tweeting like it was like an email or like a phone call or something like that. It was really great. And he's like, okay, well, so today, I mean, and like it just went viral. People just loved him. It's, you know, that kind of stuff. It's cute. I love it.
I think it was the security guard at the Cowboy Museum. And that's, he was put in charge of their Twitter account. And he was just like,
he's like, no, I don't know what Twitter is.
And he kept spelling out the word hashtag. But their number of like likes and retweets like exponentially increased to like the tens of thousands, because this guy was just so authentically clueless about how social media worked, but he was also super, super authentic. And I loved what you said about the virtual tour of the museums. I've been doing that with my family and friends, and it's like, that's something I miss right now is museums. And it's like, well, let's just virtually visit all the museums around the world. Hi, Women in WP listeners. This is Angela with a quick note from our sponsor, Malcare. The thing I like most about Malcare is how simple it is to use. Unlike other security plugins that have an array of confusing options that you have to figure out whether or not to turn on and if they will break your site, is you simply install and activate Malcare. That's it. It blocks brute force attacks to your site instantly and protects your site with a firewall. Regular security plugins are quite resource intensive because if they provide any sort of scanning, the scanning happens directly on your hosting server, which can really slow down your site. Malcare, on the other hand, copies your site encrypted to their dedicated cloud servers, so all of the scanning processes occur in the cloud, ensuring that Malcare never impacts the performance of your site. Malcare's regular, deep, clean scanning of your files and database can dynamically detect even the most complex malware. This ensures that you're the first to know if your site or client's site has been hacked. Using Malcare's one-click instant removal tool makes your site malware-free in minutes at a fraction of the price of other security services. To get started with Malcare and take advantage of their expert team of security support, please visit malcare.com Women in WP for 10% off your first year of protection, or see the show notes for a link. Now back to the show. Are there any plugins that you particularly are finding are useful for people for either notifications or landing pages or what's e-commerce? Like, give us what you love right now and that's helping you help others.
Yeah, our absolute favorite is Beaver Builder. because it's one of those WYSIWYG editors. What you see is what you get. And it really is what you see is what you get, because you edit the page and it looks exactly like it will when it's live. So when I hand that over to a client, it's so easy for them to get it and make edits. And it's just fantastic, because we build all of our sites with Beaver Builder.
Well, you know, I'm also a Beaver Builder girl.
You might have been the one who told me about it.
I think yeah. It was.
Yeah.
So, and it what I find is that I have two types of clients, either the ones that love it and go in whole hog, and the ones that just literally can't do it. And so I have to set up custom post types so that they can just fill in the blanks with their text, and then it gets imported into the layout that I've created in Beaver Builder. And there's not a lot of in between for me. And it's, I always think, oh, it's so easy. And then I'll have a client that just cannot figure it out.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen. I feel like for me, the divide is those who will take it and run with it because they're either inspired or they actually have the time to do those things, or those who just don't have the time. They don't want to do it. They don't want to think about it. They don't, you know, like, that's why they hired us, because we're the experts. So they'd rather just pay us to do it. So I feel like that is more my divide.
Do all of your team members use Beaver Builder, and did they before they came to you, or was that something that you had to give them?
Most of them had not used it before coming to us. So we taught it to them.
And I wanted to know, do you have a certain like industry or niche that you've found yourself in? If so, how have you gotten there? Or if not, you know, what have you found works?
I've refused to choose a niche because I like the variety of work.
I'm like that. I'm totally like that.
Yeah. But if I had to choose like commonalities, I think a lot of our clients are service-based. Provide services in some way. And we tend to do really well with that model because it's very similar to our model. So we can really help them, you know, get their processes honed in because of that.
And are your team members, are they designers, developers, are they both? How do they, what's your mix like?
So I started as a one who does both. So I tend to like to hire people who do both. So a lot of my earlier people were a mix. But then I did eventually hire some who were like more design or more development, but they do have like just a little bit of overlap. So I really like working with people who at least have a design eye. Unlikely that I will hire someone that's like just all code and like no design experience whatsoever.
And now that you have this big team working for your company, how much time are you yourself spending working on websites, if any at all?
Very little. Very, very little. Yeah. I usually come in when the team is stuck on something, or to provide some art direction, or if it's just like some small little thing that like a new prospect needs. I'm like, I could whip that out in an hour. I'll just do it.
Well, so, you know, I'm just very small agency with myself and my sister and a few employees. And I know, you know, Angela and Tracy are similar. So how do you go about doing onboarding and delegating work with such a big team?
Good question. So I'm all about process and recording the processes like as you're doing the work. So we have this huge repository of how we do things, and we use Workist for our project management. It ties into Slack with your, like, you know, task lists. So I have templates in there for onboarding that will take someone through the whole process, like a little welcome letter, like, here are all the tools we use, here are the videos that show you how to do things. And the most recent person we hired, she's like one of those serious go-getters. She just like whipped through it, and she would be like, I have a question for you. And then 10 minutes later, she's like, nope, answered it myself. And then she kept doing that. She just like kept finding all of the answers because it's all set up in there if you actually just look for it. So it's all about the process. And recording a video, like just use Zoom and record it while you're doing it. So you're getting the work done and you're documenting it at the same time.
That's a really good, that's good advice. Cause that's my always, that's always my problem is it's one reason why I've never really had the desire to go, like I'm, you know, when I do freelance stuff, I pretty much just do myself sometimes subcontract, but most of the time, but it's because I'm not a, like a process person or like I'm a process person, but it's all over the place. Cause it, you know, so it depends on that, but I really like that of like Zoom. And then what were the tools you said you used again?
Workist.
Workist.
It ties into Slack. So you can just do like slash to do and create a task.
I'm going
to
go check out, take a look at that. Cause that's really, really cool. Nice.
Yeah.
And do you spell that W-O-R-K?
A-S-T.
A-S-T. Okay, we're going to put that in the show notes and I'm totally going to check that out too. Do you find your workers end up working together on projects? Kind of like, do they communicate with each other or are you just communicating with them? Or do you just turn it over to like a group of people and it's like, okay, you guys, this is your project. The three of you or however many work it out and go for it. And are you doing any project management of it, like timelines and scheduling? Are they handling the project management as well?
So I have two project managers. And again, because everyone comes from freelancing, they all have a little bit of project management experience. And again, so I'm all about process, which means that for new projects, there's onboarding for the clients. There's, you know, documentation on how to get the project started and like the steps that we go through to create a website. And because we're all creating everything in the same way, it makes it really easy for anyone to just jump into the project and like take over for someone. But typically we start a project off with a project manager, a designer and a developer, or that could be the same person. So there'll be at least like two or three people on a team and they just take it and run with it.
And how do you delegate who gets which projects?
Some of it's based on personality. I know that there are some people out there that Danielle will not like to work with, and my other project manager, Jessica, doesn't mind, and vice versa. Or if one of them has more experience in a certain area, they might get the project based on that. Or if they showed a lot of interest when we were first talking about the project. So kind of based on a combination of things.
Are you thinking that you want to grow further than larger than your 10, or are you happy at that level right now?
I am happy with the way things are, but if we did need to grow, I would definitely be okay with that.
And so when you're working with, you know, all these 10 people and everybody's remote, how much people management do you have to do?
Not a whole lot. One of the things that business coach, one of the pieces of advice she gave me early on was to hire for attitude and like the skills can be learned. So I tend to hire fairly positive people who are all about helping each other. And that's like one of our core values. So I think because of that, it's just amazing to see how much everyone supports each other and how little drama we've had, I think, because of that.
Well, now that you said that, have you had any drama?
Or is
I know you said you've had little, but have you had some?
Yeah.
And I have drama and it's just me and my sister, so.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, of course there's going to be drama for that. But yeah, you know, there have been things that have popped up now and then. We had a contractor once who was, how shall I put this? He was a little showy. Like he had like purple hair. I mean, I've got purple tints in my hair, but you know, he had purple hair and like piercings and he was very extroverted, right? Like love talking, love just like being out there. And he posted a somewhat inappropriate picture of his outfit for the weekend. And I had a couple people come to me about that. And I was like, I think I'm going to need you. Like, you can post pictures of yourself, but just make sure it's like from here up, from the chest above nipples up, because nobody on the team wants to see your nipples.
So was he posting them in like Slack or like on Instagram?
In Slack, okay. In the general okay. channel.
They were in the work area, not yes. like just in social media.
Yes. Yes.
Well, now let me pivot and ask about, you know, your social media presence. Do you do a lot in social media and do you delegate that to your team?
I delegate that to the team. So it's happening and I don't really know what they're doing, but it's happening. And, like, too old for that stuff.
How do you delegate who is doing what and how are you making sure that it gets done?
So my number, if any Star Trek fans, my number one is Danielle, and like I just trust her, so she has free rein over it. And she's, you know, we're both kind of goofy, like there's a bit of a goofy fun vibe, and she sometimes takes the social media in a really fun direction. And yeah, I don't check her work or anything. I'm pretty sure it's out there. I know she hasn't been doing it as much the last couple of weeks because, you know, we're all feeling a little weird about what's happening in the world. So she's taken a little break, which is perfectly fine, but pretty sure she's mostly putting good stuff out.
I think Amy and I are probably both dumbstruck, like, wow, so what does Nicole do all day?
Yeah, you said everybody works independently. They work really well. They're all just managing everything on their own and they don't need managed, and they're doing the social media. And so what do you do now that you're not building the websites?
I am networking. Most of my time is spent like getting out, meeting people to try to find us good clients.
And what are your tricks?
Well, I was in BNI for a while, which worked pretty well for a while. And that's how I found my business coach. And that's how I got comfortable doing stuff like speaking to people in a situation like this. Like, there's no way I could have done this 5 years ago. My face would have been like super red and I would have been talking way weirder than I talk, super awkward. But yes, so BNI for a while. And I quit that like last summer, and now I've joined one called Provisors, which is like BNI, but more established businesses that have been around for like 10 years or more. There's another one called Centricity that I just joined that's all virtual. Like, even before the lockdown, they were all virtual. So I'm actually meeting people in other states now. And that one's really neat because the guy who runs it, he breaks people out into sessions and asks very thought-provoking questions that help people with their businesses. And so I've been getting tons of value out of that one. So those are some of the big ones. And then those, like each of these things that meet like once a week or once a month, like you always end up with one-to-ones out of those with people. So lots of meetings, lots of meetings.
So being in this business for as long as you have, especially for someone starting out, because I have made these mistakes, what are your red flags when it comes to a client?
Let me pull up my document. Hold on. We actually started a document for this because we're like, okay, we have to figure this out.
You gave me something once, I think a few years ago, that I printed up that had, you know, like a scale to judge clients on.
Oh yeah. That one was a little different. I can share this one with you guys.
We can put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. But some of the things, like if the prospect, like if we've set aside an hour to talk, and if they end up talking to me for an hour and a half, no. That means they don't respect my time. And every time we meet, they're going to go over, they're going to take up tons of time, and they obviously like to talk a lot and they just want to hear themselves. So no, we will not work with someone who goes over that time limit. There are a couple of other things too that are kind of dead giveaways. I think when someone says, "I'm not a designer," that's...
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that right. usually adds like, but...
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Well, what about the, "I don't know what I want, but I'll know it when I see it"?
That's also one. Yep. Mm. That is a bad sign.
These just bring back like PTSD.
I know, right? Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to need to include this in the show notes. Nicole's tips for turning away clients.
Yes.
And with 10 team members, like how many projects are you taking at a time?
Well, I don't really look at it like that. Because we mostly will turn down clients because of this red flag list, not because of availability. We usually have enough availability to take on whatever projects are coming our way. So that hasn't been a reason really for us to turn anything down, at least not for a while.
But I assume that you're able to handle a lot more projects than like the smaller agencies that only have a few people. So
yeah. Yeah. So we probably have, I want to say 30 active projects, roughly, maybe.
Wow.
Give or take.
And, you know, when you're finishing up on the projects and, you know, you're after like they're closed, you know, sites launched, what happens after that? I know you offer support plans, but what about, you know, who's maintaining and who's offering the support and who's running all that aspect of your business?
So we do try to get most of our clients onto a care plan, and we run those. We use Managed WP to help maintain. Most of our sites are hosted on WP Engine. So with those two tools, a lot of the security and backups and all that is covered. So our project managers, it's up to them to continue to stay in touch with the clients. So we try to check in with the care plan clients at least once a month to make sure that, you know, see if they have anything going on, anything coming up. And then even if our clients don't sign on for a care plan, we still keep in touch because we're all about building the relationship. We don't ever like set it and forget it or leave anyone behind. We're always, you know, trying to check up on people.
I think that's really good advice. And I think I find it really hard to maintain that level of follow-up as, you know, a very small company with a lot of clients, because I'm just right, at least for the last few weeks, it's like, you know, I'm getting hit with a baseball bat every day and I can't even keep up with the stuff that's coming in. But for this pandemic, kind of what I feel like right now is that I have, you know, all of my existing clients need a lot of work and that's kept me very busy, but I'm seeing a decrease in the number of inquiries for new projects that are coming in. Have you noticed that at all?
Yes and no, because I have been ramping up my networking. So that's offsetting anyone who would just find me online. Like those have definitely decreased, but because I'm meeting so many people and trying to, you know, build more connections with referral partners. For example, there's this Bay Area IT group that's all IT people, and I'm the only web designer in there. And people ask their IT people about websites, and they don't do websites. So this has been a fantastic connection for me. You guys need an IT group in your area that you can go to and like be the only web designer, you guys. It's like magic.
You know, it's funny because you say that, because like I like speaking at conferences and stuff, but you know, if I wanted to get into a niche of, let's say, life coaches, their websites are awful. I should go and speak at a life coach conference about social media or anything like that. Yeah. So that's actually really good advice. And I found, actually that's where I met Angela when the Loop Comp, which was mostly developer area, very developer heavy. And I mean, yes, I do development. I've been coding since 1996. But I'm more of a designer. And so they're like, oh, you do design, you do UX. Like, oh, we need to talk. Like, I think that's really great. Putting yourself into those spaces that where you can fit, I think is a really, really good advice for anyone starting or wanting to grow their business for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I have thought about doing. Like I go to the WordCamps and I talk to my nerd friends and that's where my happy place is, but I've never been super comfortable speaking at them. But I feel like if I went to like a pool vendor conference. Like I could give a talk to all these, you know, pool companies and tell them everything they need to do with their website. And I would
feel pool vendors is what the example you came up with in Indiana. I'm
sorry. Well, here's the thing. I'm a pool owner and I've done a lot of pool vendor websites. So I feel like this is kind of a niche. I can't even say the word niche. I think that would be a very, like, that would be a way for me to network, but I haven't found like where they're meeting and how to get in on that. But
well, they probably, maybe they need some networking. They need some technology people to create that.
Well, their websites are all terrible.
Well, there you go.
So Nicole, I know that you've been doing this for a long time and you have built this huge business, but you've never been to a WordCamp. Have you thought about before the pandemic changing that?
Yes, I have it on my calendar and I was planning on going this year finally. And of course now it's going to be virtual. But yes, I do plan on going. My issue is that I've never found a way to get the notifications about when it's launched. Like I noticed because I subscribed to this 2020 one that I had subscribed to the 2016 one, but I never got any emails about it. So like I just never got notifications, which
that's a good point. Cause I found that like I subscribed to the Google Calendar, which is dangerous because then especially when I want to travel, I'd be like, Costa Rica. I like to go to Costa Rica and look, I have nothing on my calendar that weekend. But they don't, it is one of those things you have to kind of actively check. That's mm-hmm. for sure to see, like, because I also like to, I like to submit a talk. So then if I go in, I can write that off as a business trip.
Well, and yes. You're in California, so you have, you know, I think you guys have a lot of different WordCamps there that you could be going to. I mean, I like the big ones, just because there's more people there, but, and Indiana does not host WordCamps. So, but you're in a place that does, so you have a lot more opportunities, but I think that a lot of people would really benefit from hearing your story and what you've done with your business and how they can grow. Cause a lot of the people that come to those are, you know, the people that are just starting out like you did as a freelancer.
See, that never occurs to me that's why I should be going and that I could be talking and like telling people. I'm like, people know stuff, right? Like it doesn't occur to me that I might know more of than them that could help them. So thanks for that. That's eye-opening.
I really think, you know, because, you know, I've kind of followed your story this whole time. And I think that there's so much that you've done that could be useful. And I mean, I've learned from you too, to other people. And I know when I went to my very first WordCamp in 2013, and I'd never gone to one before, the stuff I learned about just running a business and working with clients was stuff that I don't think I would have gotten anywhere else. And it totally changed. I don't think my business would be where it is today if I hadn't gone to that one WordCamp. Now I also feel there's like a diminishing return each time I go. So now it's more about networking and talking to my friends and less about, you know, learning new skills. But I feel like that you could really give back to the newer WordPress community members.
Yeah, that is an excellent advice, Amy. I think I will. Let me make a note of that because I should definitely be doing that.
I think so too. And a lot of the WordCamps have kind of agency business tracks and the kind of talk you could give on your processes and how you've positioned yourself in the business owner and delegate. It's just, you have a wealth of information that even those of us who've been doing this for many, many years, like, haven't figured out. But I also think there's a personality type there too that could be teased out with this, like the fact that you have to be in front of so many people all week, like really networking and all of that. Like someone could have leadership skills, but they just don't want to be out there that much, or, you know, or True. They don't really want to be the boss. You kind of have to want to be the boss. Like some people can be a leader, but they may not want to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting combination of both skills and personality that makes someone succeed in that role that you've succeeded in. And so you've done a good job, and there may be other people who would be so inspired.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it's been so awesome having you on the show today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Sure. My business website is smackhappy.com. And I also have some artwork out there if anyone wants to see what I do in my spare time. It's NicoleHanasekArt.com. And we're on social media, but like I said, I don't know what those things are. So you can find them on my websites. I'm on Instagram. I do Instagram. SmackHappyD and Nicole Hanasek Art.
Apparently the way I respond to a pandemic is I buy as much art. So if you sell any art,
all right,
I'll buy some.
I do have an Etsy account, so.
Excellent.
Now we know what Tracy's doing tonight.
And
thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womenandwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.